Jackson Michael is our guest, the author of The Game Before the Money, Voices of the Men Who Built the NFL. We are in part three, the third quarter, Jackson. And these are players whose careers began in the 1960s. Leroy Jordan is the next one I want you to talk about.
Leroy Jordan was the middle linebacker on the Cowboys' doomsday defense and really helped his teammates make plays. He would watch a lot of game film, and then once the offense lined up, he had a great ability to foresee what was coming from his game film preparations and let his teammates, like Bob Lilly, know what was coming, and they were able to make great plays, in part with Leroy's knowledge.
Who was Garland Boyette?
Garland Boyette was the first African-American to play middle linebacker in the National Football League. He did so for the St. Louis Cardinals in the early 60s. And, you know, at that time, you know, middle linebacker was kind of like quarterback for the defense. And there was, he got a lot of hate mail, people questioning his intelligence level to play that position. But he ended up playing 10 years in the National Football League and the American Football League with the Houston Oilers. And, you know, he proved, you know, preparation really is key. He would watch a lot of film, and he overcame all of the adversity to excel. He also played with Coach Eddie Robinson at Grambling. He tells some fantastic stories about Coach Robinson and what his philosophies were and what kind of coach he was.
He seemed really devoted to Eddie Robinson. That's what I sensed as I read his story.
Yeah, it seems like just from talking with Garland Boyette, there are people who are iconic in football or in anything, really. And they don't always live up to it as a person. But it sounds like Coach Robinson might be one of those people that lived up to the accolades.
Next one I want you to talk about is Bob Greasy.
Bob Greasy. Yeah, the quarterback, the Dolphins, the three straight AFC championships. And really was only recruited by two colleges, just Purdue and Indiana, from his home state of Indiana. And he really started to blossom in college. He mentioned to me he didn't really learn how to throw the football until he got to Purdue. And he ended up being the fourth overall pick of the combined NFL-AFL draft once they merged. And he found out just by somebody in the athletic department in passing telling him, hey, the Dolphins drafted you. That's another big difference between today and back then. You know, the players, a lot of them didn't even know they had been drafted until somebody close to them knew, or somebody knew from the papers, or they heard it on television. Carol Dale even told me that one team, the AFL team that drafted him, didn't even make contact with him. So he ended up on the Rams without any competition there.
Hmm. Rocky Blyer is next.
Rocky Blyer went to Vietnam. He was drafted in the Army, and the Steelers couldn't get a deferral for him. And in an ambush, he had a grenade blow up on him, and he was also shot. The doctors told him that he would never play football again. Rocky, he had had some previous football injuries and kind of compared his war wounds with that and thought, you know, I've recovered from football injuries. I can recover from this. And it took him 3 to 4 years of hard work and dedication. And he finally ended up a starter on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we all know the Steelers won 4 Super Bowls, and he got to be a part of all 4 of them as a starter. And it's really a great story of, you know, somebody overcoming tremendous adversity to accomplish their dream.
Part 4, players whose careers began in the 1970s. And I want to start with a man who lives here in Orlando, Jackson. His name is Jack Youngblood.
Jack Youngblood is a great guy to chat with. And he came up, he was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams out of the University of Florida in the first round, which really surprised him. He expected to be picked in the middle round. And he credited a lot of his success to being mentored by Merlin Olsen and Deacon Jones. And they helped make him the player that he was. But Jack really is an outstanding player on his own, and really one of the defining players of the 1970s.
Now we go to Conrad Dobler.
Yeah, Conrad Dobler. He was dubbed the dirtiest player in the NFL by Sports Illustrated, and that was one reason why I really wanted to track him down and just see what he thought of that. And, you know, he pretty much said, you know, everybody's mean out there. Everybody's nasty out there. And he's like, I just ended up with that tag. And like Ken Houston, Hall of Fame defensive back, pointed out in the book, you can't really judge a person's character from what happens on the football field. You know, for 3 hours, it's pretty much survival. So everybody's rough and tough out there, and Conrad was one of the toughest guys out there. And he was elected to 3 Pro Bowls, so it wasn't like he was just a renegade without technique. He was an outstanding football player who came prepared.
Jackson, tell me players you would like to have talked to but couldn't get to.
I'll tell you, I wanted Joe Montana or Earl Campbell to close the book as the last chapter, and I probably called Joe Montana's agent 10, 12 times.
Mm.
And we just never could quite work out a time. And the same with Earl Campbell. I met him a couple, 3 times. He lives around here, and you know, we just never could iron down a time. And also, the other one was Y.A. Tittle. I kept calling a phone number that I thought might be Y.A. Tittle's number, and nobody ever picked up. I must have called 6, 7 times or so.
Mm. Fascinating. Well, you got to a bunch of them, and I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. Let me just go back and pick up one player that we didn't talk about back in the early days, George Taliaferro.
George Taliaferro. He's the first African-American to be drafted by an NFL team, the Chicago Bears. And he had already signed a contract with the AAFC team, the Los Angeles Dons. And George is one of those guys where once he gives his word, it's golden. So he chose to play for the Dons, but then ended up playing in the NFL when the AAFC dissolved. And he really, to me, I think he'd be a very well-known player had the franchise that drafted him in the supplemental draft out of the AAFC didn't move around so much. He only stayed in the same city for 2 years, I think, at the most.
Jackson Michael has been our guest. We're back next weekend for more Inside the Game. I'm Pat Williams. It's AM 660, The Answer in Orlando. Have a great week ahead.